So joining me on the line is Mr. Neil O'Brien. Neil is a published author. His book is called 101 Business Lessons from a Recovering Accountant. Neil, you are very welcome to Mind Your Own Business on CRY 104 FM.
Thank you very much, Monica, for having me. Delighted to be here.
You're welcome. So, Neil, I realised that I hadn't really delved into how you went from being, I'm sure, a very accomplished accountant to being a published author. So tell me a little bit about that first.
Yeah, I suppose the accounting was a great background in terms of understanding numbers and so on. And what happened was I worked as an accountant for 15 years working for companies, and at large companies, some the likes of Pfizer's and so on in Cork, who are quite big. And what happened, though, is that I had friends, at the same time, I had friends who were starting their own business or had businesses. So what was happening in the evening time is that I was helping my friends. So I might help them with cash flow projections. I'd help them set their pricing and so on. And I really loved that. And I realized that working for a large organization, well, it's great. You're a small cog in a big wheel. Whereas working for smaller businesses, to me, it was much more real world, and I really enjoyed it.
Wow, that's
it
great.
At that point that I decided to take the plunge, and I left the corporate world, Pfizer's in Cork, which was almost unheard of for anyone to voluntarily leave Pfizer's. Mm-hmm. But I did because I realised what I loved doing was helping, working with smaller businesses, and I wanted to do it full time.
And it's, you know, this show is for small businesses. It's about how to get started, how to get funding. And I suppose the core common area is that to do something that you love. You know, we always would recommend that if you're thinking about starting a business, that it would be in something that you are deeply passionate about. So you've obviously ticked that box for yourself then from the beginning.
Yeah, I do. And I think it is very important. I suppose it's important, though, to be, I suppose you need to balance that, the passion with a bit of realism, because, you know, saying to somebody, do what you love and it'll work out, it can be a little bit naive.
Of course.
For example, I've worked with a lot of people in the craft, I'm just picking a sector because I met a woman there just yesterday. Let's say people in the craft sector, people who make ceramics and artists and so on, and they're people you would always associate with having a real passion. And some of them are quite successful, but there's a lot of others in business who would say to me, you know, I follow my passion and yet I have no money in the bank account. So you have to, I suppose, have the passions really important. You need to understand the business fundamentals and get those right to make the business work.
I see. Yeah, absolutely. That's obviously a fine dollop of realism is required as well, because, you know, people say do what you love, but you might love eating donuts all day long and it's not necessarily going to make you any money. So your book, Neil, you know, suggests that 20% of our customers come from, just 20% of our customers give us 80% of our profits. So I've introduced the show by saying that if you'd like to learn how to identify that 20%, that we were going to be speaking to you and you're going to tell us how. So
Yeah, and I suppose I might just give you the story that I suppose how I discovered the 80-20 principle. As I was working for this electronics company, and they had about 36 customers, and I used to love working out the profitability. So one day or one week, I decided I'm going to work out the net profit. So what you do is I got a big spreadsheet and I put the 36 customers along the top. And then what you do is if you can break out the sales by customer, you do that. So you have the sales by each of the 36 customers. And then you take the costs, and some are easier than others. For example, supplier costs, and that should be relatively easy. So what you do is you allocate all your costs across 36 customers, so you end up with a net profit or net loss by customer. And the very first time we did that, what we realized was pretty extraordinary, because just 3 of the 36 customers were giving them 91% of their profits, net profits, which is pretty amazing. And there was a big bunch of them, about 18 of them were losing money. So I suppose how you work it out, Monica, is you have to do a bit of number crunching and maybe get a spreadsheet, but it's certainly well worth doing, and maybe something you can do yourself if you have an accountant or bookkeeper or somebody else who's good with numbers. Some people find that that helps them do it, but it's certainly well worthwhile doing that number crunching to work out what I call the whales, or the profitable ones, and the sardines. And once you know who they are, what you want is you want more sales with your whales and less with your sardines.
That's a great, that could be the name of your next book, Sales with Your Whales.
Yeah. Like, I think people get that. Everyone knows what the whale and the sardine is. even if people don't understand numbers in business, you know.
So. Yeah, and a story of my own comes to mind where, you know, we certainly in the early days we would have been focusing a lot on people who might give one, you know, might have offered 1 or 2 days training. And sometimes it can take so long to prepare and to do a proposal, and by the time you get it across the line, you haven't actually made any money. So how do you avoid that, like in terms of, I suppose maybe this is veering over slightly into pricing, but, you know, is it okay to have different prices for different clients?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you probably know from the pricing world, and Monica, it's interesting you bring up pricing, because I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of business owners in the last 16 years. And the issue that crops up more than any other is pricing. And unfortunately, a lot of businesses get the pricing wrong, and most of them set it too low. I've rarely ever had to say to somebody, no, I think your price is too high. It's nearly always the other way around. So your question of, can you charge different prices to different customers? Yes, you can. Now, if you're selling yogurt or cheese to the local shop, that may not be an option for you. But for a service business like yourself, Monica, I'm sure you know, if you're quoting a price to, say, a government body, it'll be one price. If you're quoting to a multinational, it will be a higher price because they have bigger budgets and they're willing to pay more for the same thing. So this is again, maybe it's an element of pricing and whales and sardines. It's really important when you look at who your potential customers are that you try and identify the ones maybe who you can actually charge the most or who are willing to pay a higher price than others.
Yeah.
And your example is a really good one, because a multinational could pay 2 or 3 times what another smaller business or a government body might pay for the same thing.
Yeah, it's an area that fascinates me, because again, when I was starting out, I remember delivering to one of our, you know, very good clients. They remained a good client over the years, but after a training session one day, the person, the key stakeholder, will say, pulled me aside and said, "Oh, I need to speak to you after the course." So of course I was thinking the worst, that, you know, didn't hit the mark or wasn't what they wanted. But the point she made to me was that you're not charging enough. You know, it was you're too cheap. I think that's the way she put it. It was, you're too cheap. And I was kind of like, well, what would you like me to do? And she said, put your price up. And I suppose the reason I'm sharing that story with you and with the listeners is that, when they were discussing different options and different providers at board level, ours, while it was coming across as what they wanted for their participants, it was suspiciously, low in terms of price. So people do get suspicious when you're not charging enough. I suppose specifically in the services industry. So tell me about, you mentioned that, you know, you have a collection of stories. Tell us a little bit about the book, I suppose, in terms of the 7 areas that you cover and the stories, and maybe share a story with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And the 7 sections in the book, 80-20 is one, pricing is the other one, finance, time management. And it's interesting, I might just tell you a story on pricing, Monica, because I'm sure if you people listening to the show, and you said maybe, you know, people who've gone before are like hairdressers and barbers and cafes and printers, and they're all the kind of people I've worked with. And I think what happens, back to your earlier story about you not charging enough, I think what happens in business quite often is that when a business owner is giving out a price, there's a fear element that they won't get the sale. So instead of going in at, say, 100, they might say, well, I'll go in at 70 at the start, and then when I build up and later on, I'll increase it to 100. But the problem is, if you go in at 60 or 70 and that's not enough, you may not be in business long enough to actually increase your prices later on. So I've loads of stories around this. One of my favorites is this copywriter I knew who was actually living in England at the time, and he got his first ever customer in America, and he was quoting a price for doing copywriting. So he's going to do marketing, write marketing, copywriting. And he came up with a price of $3,000, and he emailed it to this guy in the States. And he was waiting. And a few hours later, the guy came back and he said, yeah, I'll transfer $5,600 to you later on today. And John, this guy was looking at it going, $5,600, where did he get that figure from? Now, obviously, at the time, sterling was quite strong. And he went back and looked at the email And instead of putting in $3,000, he put in £3,000. And this guy still was willing to pay almost twice what John was going to charge him, you know. And it just goes to show that quite often, I know he found out by accident. So he almost got double what he was going to charge. And it just goes to show that quite often our customers are willing to pay more than we charge.
Yeah. And so if we take that to a sort of a micro level and the local tea, you know, the local cafe or whatever, have you done that in practice with people who might be maybe, I suppose, in y'all here? So it's a community. There'd be lots of regular customers coming in and out of places. It mightn't just be as easy to put the prices up without people noticing, without them kind of getting a bit, you know, maybe losing customers, I suppose. So how would you suggest that they do it?
Yeah, well, again, one of my favourite stories in the book is about the cafe, and I worked with this cafe owner, and she was in business a few years, but unfortunately she wasn't paying herself a wage every week, and in fact she might only be able to take a wage every 3 weeks from the business. And when I looked at it, unfortunately her supplier costs were too high, yet her suppliers were local. She was getting egg from Mick down the road and whatever, and I said, well, you can get them cheaper somewhere else. Oh no, I know Mick and whatever. And then she had too many staff on, but again they were like neighbors and second cousins and all this. So when I said about suggested reducing the labor costs, she didn't want to. So the only option left was to put up her prices. And she was a bit reluctant to do it. I said, look, if I put them up 10%, you'll get an extra €300 a week. You'll be able to pay yourself a wage, €350 a week. And she said, okay. But she said, you know what? She said, people will notice. I know there's four women come in every morning after mass. These four kind of retired, these women in their 70s. She said, they're very price conscious. They will definitely notice. So anyway, eventually she put up her prices, and I rang her at the end of that week. And she said, you know, how did it go? She said quite well, actually. There was a few comments, but not too many people noticed. The four mass women left, okay? But at the end of that week, she had an extra €320 because that price increase is pure profit. So most people didn't notice. And the same the second week and the third week. So most people didn't notice. And she rang me the third week and she said, you won't believe it. She says, the four mass women have come back, right? And I said, that's great news. I says, what happened? So she said, there's three other cafes in the town, and they went and tried them all, and they came back and they said, the scones aren't as fresh, the place isn't as warm, the staff aren't as nice. So you know what, I just thought it was a great story, and it's like price isn't always the most important thing. There's other factors are just as important or more important, and if you've got a good product or a good service, don't be afraid to charge properly for it.
That's a brilliant story. I think a lot of people would be able to resonate with that. It's the fear of putting up the price and people leaving, and then actually people realizing that, you know, it's a better product that they get. It's, you know, the tea bags are better quality, the scones are better quality, it's even warmer, things like that. You know, it's a real testament to people when they have when they're brave enough to do that. So Neil, what would you what would be your number one tip then in this whole milieu of pricing and trying to identify that 20% of your customers who give you 80% of your profits? So we're hoping people, and you know, your book has all the secrets in it and the tips in it, the 100 business lessons from a recovering accountant. For time and perhaps cash-strapped or time-strapped business owners who have great intentions of getting your book and reading it or maybe giving you a call, in the event that they don't do that, what can they take from this conversation and put into practice today or tomorrow that can actually make a difference?
Well, the one thing, anybody listening to this show who's a business owner, the one thing they can do tomorrow or next week is they can go in and put up their prices. Now, I do realize there's a lot of fear around that, but I can tell you, I've been through this dozens and dozens of times with business owners, and I struggle to remember any time when there was a negative reaction, okay? People value, well, some people notice, most people won't even notice, and they value, they're coming to you for a reason. They're coming to you, like the four mass women, price is not the main consideration. And just around that too, there's one other point I'd like to make around that, Monica, and I know when people are setting a price, if somebody comes up with a price in isolation, so let's say a web designer is giving a price to somebody and they say, I'm going to charge €1,000, and they have nothing else to relate it to, there's a danger they may set that price too low. So one way to check is my price right or is it too low, is to compare your price with competitors. Yeah? Compare your price with competitors. Now, don't go to the cheapest. Pick somebody who you feel is at the same level in the market as you. So if you think you're kind of middle of the market, you're not at the lower end, you're not at the upper end, then I would go and look at the prices of people who are at the same level as you, and you'll often find they're charging more. So if other customers are willing to pay, say that web designer willing to pay $1,200 or $1,300, if she finds her competitors are charging that much for a similar website to her, that tells her that the market are willing to pay a higher price for what she's doing.
Yeah, so in a way you let your competitors do the market research for you.
Yeah, it's a really, really good exercise, and it's a real aha moment, because I think sometimes people, when they see that, quite often people know, you know what, I'm every bit as good as that person over there, and they're charging more.
Yeah.
So it can really be a moment when the penny drops and they realize, you know what, I need to be charging more. So look at your competitors' prices, look at it from whatever angle you can, and best advice I can give you is put up your prices 10% tomorrow or on Monday morning when you go back to work.
Okay, maybe put them up 10% because we're heading into a bank holiday weekend, so you never know who'd be around. And you'd have a few more pounds in your till next weekend, and you can pay yourself a little bit more. Thank you so much, Neil, for your time. I want to maybe mention your website and where people can find it more. So for people who do think that you could be of help to them, you know, at a kind of a one-to-one level, where can people, it's your quantum.ie, isn't that your...
Quantum.ie, yeah, or Neil, N-E-I-L, quantum.ie is the website. Or the book is on Amazon. If people just go to Amazon, have a look for 101 Business Lessons from a Recovering Accountant, they'll find the book on there. And if anybody wants to chat, I'm happy to have a chat with anyone on the phone just to see if I can help them or if it can help in any way. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time, Neil. And we'll definitely pop that up on our Facebook page. It's neil@quantum.ie. And the book is 101 Business Lessons from a Recovering Accountant. So 7 really great sections and lots of good stories there to help you to take some of those key steps in identifying your 20% of the customers who are adding most to the bottom line. Have a lovely weekend, Neil. Thank you for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Monica. Take care.
No problem. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, so some fascinating insights there into putting up your prices with Neil O'Brien. So do check his book out on Amazon when you get a chance.